Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. Recently, I was privileged to be able to teach the staff of the London Church. I taught from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and reflecting on that lesson led me to think it could be useful to break it down into some podcasts, because it's a fascinating passage. To be honest, quite a terrifying passage in some ways, looking at the example of the Apostle Paul and the way that he treated people that he led, I found personally very challenging to my heart. But of course, what's challenging to our heart is good for our heart and good for our faith and good for our relationship with God. And if we take things to heart, it's good for us in terms of our impact for God. And so here I'd like to share over several podcasts some of the key things that stood out to me from this amazing passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, we'll read it a few verses at a time and put it together over the course of several podcasts, but what you might like to do, if you're listening to this, is to read the whole of chapter 2 in one sitting first. We can't do that on these short recordings, but perhaps if you could pause the podcast and read the passage, I think you'd find it beneficial. So we'll dive straight into 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 1 to 6. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. And we'll stop there for now. The three things I see in the whole of the chapter is an emphasis upon motives, methods, and then memories. Paul plays a lot on the purity of his motives before he talks about the ways, the methods in which he demonstrated the love of God to the Thessalonians. And then later on in the chapter, he talks about his memories of the Thessalonians, people he holds dear. And I think that's the right order of things. If our motives are good, then our methods will be godly, and then our memories will be golden. So we first of all focus upon the motives. The motives of Paul. He reminds them that his visit in the past, in verse 1, was not a failure or empty, or literally. Rutherford translates it, "You at any rate have no need to be told that the visit was not empty." In other words, he bore fruit, fruit that will last, as Jesus said we would in John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. It's always a Christian's goal to leave an impact wherever we go, and Paul was able to do that because his motives were right. He talks about his motives in verses 2 to 6. They had been insulted, they had been persecuted, they had been mistreated, but he says in verse 3, he had not impure motives. He was not teaching from error. He wasn't trying to trick them, but he was trying to do what was right by God. His first priority was not the Thessalonians. His first priority was to please God and honor God by what he did and the way in which he did it. Next time, we'll go on to talk more about the detail of these motives. But in the meantime, perhaps today is a good day to ask God to help you to purify your motives. If our motives are right, then our methods will be right. Next time, we will look at this in more detail. Until then, if you'd like to know more about our church, you can find us at nwlcc.org. My email is malcolm.cox@iccmissions.org, and my Twitter feed is mccx. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.